We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'd say like if the old one was like a Chuck Taylor, this is like one of those Under Armour hovers. So comfortable.
Dale Arnold.
Pissing in his cornflakes about it.
Yeah. Rich Keefe.
Stupid bow tie and vest!
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
Colin had his chance to be here. We offered him a contract. He didn't take it. And I don't know if I'm legally able to say this, but he's had his chance to be here. He passed it.
Once you get the muff, there's no advancement.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Steve Biasi is in the house with us. Got to give credit where credit is due, man. A veteran move by Tom Brady working in an Under Armour plug.
Oh, smooth, isn't he?
In the course of answering a question about his new helmet.
Sure.
It is time on this Patriots Friday to talk with Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty. Our conversation with Devin is brought to you by Plum Direct Marketing and Kaplansky Insurance. Devin, it's Dale, Rich, and Steve Biasi. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. At some point this year, I'm hoping, if we get the chance, that you screw us up and have Jason do this thing instead of you, because I won't know the difference, will I?
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I just got to get it okay through the PR staff.
A lot better defensive effort, I thought, from your team last night. How did you assess what went on?
Yeah, I thought we came out with good energy. That was something we talked about this week. Of just taking the field and playing hard from the start, of everyone just being into it, not as much X's and O's, but running effort and everything. And I thought we got that last night.
What do you think of how your brother has made the transition to becoming a New England Patriot after obviously many years with Tennessee, then with Cleveland? How do you think he's done early on here with the Pats?
Oh, it's been good. I mean, I think it was kind of what was expected from, you know, other guys on the team. You know, knowing he's a 10-year vet, he's played in different systems, you kind of expect him to come in, learn, and understand what he has to do. And I think last year going to Cleveland was a good transition for him to understand, you know, what it takes to go to a new team and be a veteran guy there.
Devin, we noticed a lot more pressure on the quarterback than we saw in the first game. Is this a point of emphasis for your team, and is it a factor of a philosophy change, or is it a personnel scenario?
I think guys just played well yesterday. It's something we always talk about, you know, how much better we're able to play up front in the back end when we're able to rush the passer and not, you know, let the quarterback just be back there and feel good in the pocket. So I thought guys did a really good job of rushing and executing the game plan.
We're talking to Patriots defensive back Devin McCourty on a Patriots Friday. I'm always curious about this, and I understand you don't make the decisions, the coaches do. How much preseason game time do you think you need to get ready for the regular season?
You know, I never think about it because each year I've been here, it's been different. You know, I've had a year where I was coming off an off-season shoulder surgery. I only played 12 plays and felt okay going out there. So I think each year is different. As you get older, it varies. But I think Bill does a good job of getting guys what he thinks we need, especially when you factor in what we're doing in practice, too. So I think, like, I've never worried about that every year I've been here.
Is there something you look to get out of preseason, something specifically, especially, you know, after you've been here for so many years?
I think, first off, staying healthy and then trying to build the bond with your guys. So in the secondary and defensively, trying to play well as a unit, I think that's key. You know, I know the games doesn't matter, win or lose. I think you start to learn each other. You start to understand where the person next to you is going to be. You build trust. So I think that's very key because, you know, once you get in that first game, you know, there's no redos. All those games count.
Devin, you've been through a number of preseasons now. Do you see anything different or anything out of the norm than you've seen in all your other preseasons? Is there anything that jumps out at you, whether it's a point of emphasis or something?
No, I think for, you know, this year I think we still have a lot of our core guys, but I think what happens is that all those guys start to get older. I think you really start to realize how important it is. Each day you're out there, you realize you don't know how many more, you know, years you're going to play. And I think a lot of our core guys are older now, and we try to really, you know, extend that point to every guy, the young guys who come in, veterans who change teams and come here. And I think we're doing a good job of that this year, of just trying not to waste any days and go out there and try to get better.
How are the coaches preparing you guys for this new helmet rule this year?
We all sat in there in the meeting, and I think we kind of understand you have to go out there and play as it's being called. I think the one thing you're going to see this year is just not going to be consistent. If they keep it the way it is, you're going to have to go out there, and however it's being called in that game, you're going to have to adjust. Like last night, there was a lot more penalties for the helmet rule than there was in our first game. So we'll have to adjust each week off however it's being called.
So do you go in trying to tackle differently than you have in years past, or are you doing things the same?
I'm doing things the same. Like, I've never been a guy that's been, you know, heavy hitting guys on my helmet. And I think it's too hard to just try to change how you play. I think you end up hurting yourself if you try to do that.
Devin, you practice against them every day for the most part, or see them. How do you look at this receiving core that your offense has this year?
I think they do a great job of being where they need to be, getting open. You'll hear Bill say over and over in the meeting room, receivers have two jobs, get open and catch the ball. And it sounds simple, but I think they've done a good job of that. And, you know, being out there in these games, a guy like CP Patterson has made plays all through training camp. And I think it's great once you see him, you know, go out there on game day and make the same type of plays he's been making in practice.
Devin, we appreciate the time. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again soon.
No problem. Good to hear from you guys.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Devin.
That is
Thanks,
Patriots defensive back and captain, Devin McCourty. That was good news. We have bad news. Adam Schefter, who is a guy I kind of trust on this stuff.
He's probably right.
Tweeted out a few minutes ago, Patriots first-round pick, offensive tackle Isaiah Wynn, tore his Achilles against the Eagles, will be out for the season, per source. Schefter added the worst of the preseason on display. Now, I understand you can't wrap everybody in bubble wrap. You got to play guys, especially rookies. But it's why,
it's
as soon as I saw Nick Foles go out with a shoulder last night, I said, okay, I don't need to see Tom Brady anymore after this.
Right. So was it Dr. Chow, the internet doctor?
Dr. Chow, he was right.
Did he speculate Achilles? I think he threw that out there.
He did.
So that is just brutal. You wondered where he was going to fit in. Was he going to win one of those guard spots? Was he going to be right tackle? Would he give Trent Brown, you know, competition at left tackle? He's a first-round pick. He's a 23rd pick in the draft. The Patriots hit on 90% of their first-round picks. I think the expectations were high for him.
Yep.
Doesn't play in preseason game number one. Plays last night. Tears his Achilles.
Right.
Just awful.
It's terrible, and now all of a sudden you have to I mean, not that they don't do it already, but they will rededicate their idea to looking at the waiver wires from now on.
Sure.
When the cutdowns come, they got to see if there's a veteran, serviceable offensive lineman just to shore up whatever they have. And you know, you've got some injury issues already on the offensive line. You're going to have to find a way to make this work. And that I've said that at the beginning of the season, this offensive line could easily dictate how well or how far the Patriots team goes.
Well, Dale, you speculated, you know, contract year for Shaq Mason. Maybe they could move on from him.
Not now.
No, you can't do that now. Now he's locked in. He's important. And now all of a sudden, Adrian Waddle, who they re-signed this offseason, he becomes really important, as he might be a starter now for you.
Well, and the other guy who, quite frankly, concerns me is Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, now the question is, can he get out on the field? Can he stay out on the field? You know, in a perfect world, Marcus Cannon would be your starter. And I guess at this point, Adrian Waddle would be your backup. But, you know, you're kind of thin at that tackle spot right now.
You are. And there'll be a name or two that comes available. But, again, if they're at a point where they're getting cut from a team, you wonder how serviceable they'd be for the Patriots.
Yeah, usually it's the Patriots cast-offs who get jobs elsewhere.
Right.
It's not the Patriots taking other teams' cast-offs. You may not have a choice.
True.
I mean, you may have to do that just based on, you know, numbers-wise.
If so, it'll be a vet that's capable of probably playing both tackles, and a vet that's proven that he can do the job at a reasonable level. It doesn't have to be a future Hall of Famer that gets that decides to go that gets cut, but it, you find a serviceable guy right now. That's all you need.
The other thing Belichick has done in the past is make trades.
True.
Yeah, he may have to in this scenario. You know, we were talking before, there was that article about the talent around the league that's under 25 years old. So it's really like, you know, the last three drafts, right, basically, and how you've done there. And the Patriots ranked towards the bottom, right? I mean, they were, I think, dead last in one of them. Mm-hmm. And some of it's semantics because, you know, Trey Flowers is going to be just over the age limit. And a couple of those guys are right there. But Isaiah Wynn was one of the guys that the Patriots could have had under 25 this year that could have made an impact on the team. And now you lose him before you even play a meaningful game.
And I didn't even think about it until Devin mentioned how the team's getting older. I didn't even think of it that way. And for him to say it means it's something he's noticed. And you get a few years in the league and you start looking around you and seeing that some of your buddies are already gone and some didn't last as long. And next thing you know, you're looking at a team and you're one of the older guys and you see your team getting older. It's one thing the Patriots have done pretty well. They've haven't been in positions where they've let their team get old too often.
Right. This is now you're starting to see that where, you know, the best players on the team are all pretty experienced veteran guys, you know, whether it's McCourty or Brady or Edelman, even Gronk, like all these guys are.
Yeah.
And so maybe some of the young guys, you know, maybe it's Derek Rivers from last year's draft class, or maybe it's somebody else that steps up and gives you sort of a sign of, you know, things to come.
Yeah. This has happened to the Patriots, you know, more often than you'd like to think lately. Trey Flowers missed his whole rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Derek Rivers,
right,
mm-hmm, you know, missed the season. They have had this happen where that's guys who
things.
You count on, yeah, weird, strange sorts of
right.
things. I mean, as we said, when we watched the play last night, it didn't look like it was any big deal.
No.
No, and then you got, you know, it wasn't his rookie season, but Cyrus Jones missed the entire year.
Yep.
Julian Edelman last year missed an entire year. So you get these preseason injuries happen all the time, happen around the league. We've already seen them early, you know, on other teams, and now it's affecting the Patriots. So.
And yet they're always in competition to win a championship.
Every year.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is.
I thought I remembered something. And I believe it was the Super Bowl win against Atlanta. Weren't they average age? Weren't they one of the
very
younger
young.
Super
yeah.
Bowl
yeah.
champions?
Very young. Yeah, you go back. Oh, no, it was the Seattle one, I believe.
Was it that one?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, where, because you go back and that's where
Malcolm,
you
know, Butler.
Butler and Hightower and Jones and Collins.
Right.
Those guys were all very
that's
young
right.
and they were all a big impact. So, yeah, the team has certainly gotten a lot older.
So now the Patriots have got another hole to fill. Now, they've had a couple of open roster spots on the 90-man anyway.
Right.
Chances are they've been, you know, scouring for let's plug this guy in, let's bring that guy in. They seem to have been working out wide receivers lately for some reason.
They have plenty of receivers.
So now, obviously, they've got that, I'll use the old term, they've got a Rolodex that they've been keeping, and they've mm-hmm. got names on it who
True.
Can play tackle.
True, but anybody who's on the street right now, you have to wonder
Why?
How effective they are.
Yeah.
And if you're going to make a trade for an offensive tackle, you know, you're in a situation where people know you're up against it and they might try to hold you up, which is what they should do.
Well, there was not a whole lot available this offseason. One of the main reasons why Nate Solder got so much money,
yeah,
you know,
true.
To go to the Giants. He got a ton of money. He was one of the best guys there. And so they made the trade for Trent Brown, and then they drafted Wynn because where else were they going to go? We pulled up the list of free agents,
yeah.
and I don't think any of them were going to be a huge upgrade. Remember, Cam Fleming and LeAdrian Waddle were two of the higher-ranked tackles that were free agents. So
Shaq Mason's going to be one of the highest-ranked offensive linemen
right.
available,
right.
you know, assuming he doesn't get a contract done at the end of the season.
Right.
It's a tough thing to swing if you're trying to replace, you know, Isaiah Wynn, who, again, his role was undefined. Like, we didn't know where he was going to start. He
no,
wasn't
but you
penciled
thought
in.
As a first-round pick
would.
He was going to play.
Yeah, oh, I thought he would for sure. But going in, you weren't 100% sure where on the offensive line he was going to play. And so do they really want to trade draft picks for another offensive lineman, then how good is that offensive lineman going to be?
Is it a stopgap measure? Is it a guy
right.
towards the end of his career?
Right.
Or is it a guy that's, you know, whose skills have declined? You're right. There's all sorts of things to think about. Nothing Bill Belichick hasn't dealt with before, but it'll be interesting to see how he deals with this time.
This might just be, you know, hey, Dante, Scarnecchia, you got your work cut out for
coach
you
him up.
This year. You're going to
coach him up, Dante.
Coach him up, figure it out.
Yep.
You know, if you think about it, Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal expanded on the list I gave you. He talks about Patriots draft picks have been hit with so many injuries over recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Dominique Easley, Brian Stork, Trey Flowers, Trey Jackson, Malcolm Mitchell, Cyrus Jones, Vincent Valentine, Derek Rivers, Tony Garcia. Now Isaiah Wynn.
Now,
I mean, it's been an epidemic.
But one thing I would say, most of the guys you named there, came with that tag. They came with that label. They got them in the draft because Dominic Easley had blown out both of his knees before and fell to them late in the first round. So when he gets hurt, should we be shocked by that? Like Malcolm Mitchell was dealing with injuries. There's a long list of guys. Go all the way back to Rozai Dowling when they drafted him. You're like, well, he's hurt. He was hurt in high school all the time.
Common thread? Not one TB12 Alex Guerrero client on that whole list.
They gotta get in there.
Just saying. Just putting it out there, throwing it out there.
They better get there right away.
better get some pliability.
Yeah, what's a pliability? Pliability.
I'm not sure that helps.
Isaiah Wynn needs to take a golf cart up to TB12 today.
Avocado toast is not going to cure an Achilles.
It may not, though.
All right, let's get to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Tough news for the Patriots, as apparently they will lose Isaiah Wynn for the season with a torn Achilles. Mike's in Framingham. Mike, you're next on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
How you doing? Two things. First, Diassi, you said you weren't considered an athlete. 15 years ago, my friends played you in a flag football game against retired Patriots. They're Division III college football players. You were flying by every one of them.
They were all 52 years old. They graduated in 1986 from that Division III. So, no, we always have fun with those guys. We do these charity events with the cops or the firefighters, and it's always fun, and the best part of it is the after party.
Yep. And the other thing, too, is when you talk about Belichick, how he wanted to check everything, he wanted limit. You can only check a certain amount, even though you could have unlimited
Right, but my point was you could challenge any play. Yeah, yeah. Now, you couldn't challenge every play, every call in a game.
Like three of them, though.
Right, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the plays that you're not allowed to, like pass interference. You can't go to the video on. You can't dispute it.
That's my point, though. So you can have, like, three challenges total no matter what it is. So if there is a pass interference, you can still challenge it, but now you're down to two.
Whatever allows you to make this a better system. I agree with you. It doesn't matter if it's unlimited challenges or if the challenges are done in New York or whatever as it's happening or immediately after it happens. I have no problem with however they figure it out.
If everything was reviewable, even if you're only allowed to throw the red flag three times, if every single play is reviewable, I feel like both teams would use all three every game.
How many plays in a normal game do you think are reviewable?
How many? I bet a ton are.
Especially with
this new helmet rule.
Okay, then
every play.
Then how come every team doesn't use all three challenges every?
Well, because there are certain things you can't challenge.
There's how many? What, pass interference?
Pass interference. You could throw the flag on that one every time.
Holding, you can't do it.
Yeah, those ones. Those judgment calls.
But they don't care about a certain amount of holding. They care about defensive holding. No, they don't care about offensive holding.
Well, that's true. But if you really wanted to challenge
like a linebacker over there too.
No, he's not wrong.
It allows you to score more points.
Right.
It's all about the same philosophy. It allows you to score more points. And yes, those guards and centers did hold linebackers a little longer than they should have. But
if the idea was that every play was reviewable and everything was reviewable, 3rd and 10. You don't get it. You say, just throw the flag and let's take a look at the thing real quick and see if the left guard was holding or it's being held or whatever. Was there a pass interference on the way away from the field? Like you'd try to figure out something.
Yeah, probably right.
It would slow it down.
Limited to three of them.
Yeah.
But you make everything reviewable.
617-779-7937. Isaiah Wynn reportedly done for the year with a torn Achilles in last night's preseason game. It's Dale and Keefe with Steve DiAssi, Sports Radio WEEI. Preparing you guys for this new helmet rule this year?
We all sat in there in the meeting, and I think we kind of understand you have to go out there and play as it's being called. I think the one thing you're going to see this year is just not going to be consistent if they keep it the way it is. You're going to have to go out there, and however it's being called in that game, you're going to have to adjust. Like last night, there was a lot more penalties for the helmet rule than there was in our first game. So we'll have to adjust each week.
Devin McCourty, who joined us earlier here on a Patriots Friday. We also gave you the bad news about Isaiah Wynn, according to multiple reports now, but the first was Adam Schefter to report that Wynn suffered a torn Achilles in last night's win over the Philadelphia Eagles. That would make him, of course, done for the season. It gets me to a philosophy question for the Patriots that I wonder about here, because we gave you that long list of draft picks who have missed significant amounts of playing time over the last several years for the Patriots. They like to take chances on guys. Today, Belichick was talking about Keontae Davis. He said he would have been drafted if he wasn't dealing with an injury. And they were asked, would he have been drafted highly? And Belichick says, possibly. Belichick compared his situation coming out of school to Marcus Cannon. They like to take guys who, whose injuries make them a bigger bargain. If this guy was healthy, he wouldn't be available here.
Whatever the value is. And in the draft, a lot of times there are guys that drop because of injury. And look where the Patriots are always picking. If they have a first-round pick, it's late. 2017, they didn't pick till the third round. 2016, they didn't have a first-round pick. So they have to try to find value picks, but it can bite them. Like you mentioned, you know, Dominique Easley, and go back to Rozai Dowling. There were huge injury concerns with those guys, and then that's exactly what you got when they became a pro. And so some of the other guys even in there, too, that they took chances on, injuries were there, and so you had to know it was going to be a bit of a red flag once they made the team.
And the situation also was that the Patriots didn't necessarily need rookies to come in and contribute to their team. They've had good teams. They've had championship-caliber teams that were drafting all the time, to your point about where they were drafting. So it wasn't like they had to hit on a first-rounder every year. Actually, I can't remember a single year where they've actually had to 100% hit on a first-rounder.
Right, if they help you in year two or year three, then it's worth it for them.
Right. So now you're taking the chance with some of these guys, and there have been a few guys with injury history. Maybe that's where you get your bargains.
I mean, because then there's also the other example, Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski fell to the second round because of all of his injuries. He's also dealt with injuries here, but he is so good that it was worth it. All these other teams passed up on him knowing that he could probably be pretty good, but he's dealing with back injuries and all these other things at Arizona, and then that one paid off for you.
Yep. I doubt that it brings about a change in philosophy because
Bill
Belichick's been pretty consistent about the way he's run things down there. But and you were looking it up. We don't think that Isaiah Wynn had an injury history at Georgia.
So. No.
You said he missed a bunch of...
It says here he missed a bunch of practices due to illness, but I mean that could be anything.
Hangover.
Yeah, right. That could be anything. But
I
had the flu at BC a few times. No, that was just class I missed. I'm sorry.
You were good to go on the game day.
Practice
was
good, yeah.
No, I think he was pretty healthy as far as one, unless I'm missing a story there. I think he was pretty healthy at Georgia, so he does not fall into that category.
And by the way, it's just a fluke. It was just a fluke.
Yeah, that was one of those weird ones.
You got to play some people in preseason. And by the way, rookies are good guys that you want to see play. Now, I don't want to see Brady play.
Nope. We're good.
In fact, I've seen enough of Brady for this entire preseason.
We're good.
I don't want to see Gronk play.
No, and Gronk probably won't. But with Brady, you know, he ultimately, was it six series? So it was the first half, but it wasn't a ton of series. But after the first one looked so good, weren't you kind of thinking, well, maybe this will be it? Even though I know all the reports where he's probably going to play the first half.
Right.
But you see that and you're like, okay, he's good.
Yeah.
And then he goes back out again and you're like, okay, that was also good.
Thank you.
And then he just keeps going back out there. So I know he wants to get reps. Like he's a guy that always wants to play, but
too bad.
And to Dale's point, you just can't protect every single player, but you can protect Brady. You can protect Gronk.
That's true.
Some of the other.
They do protect Gronk. They are protecting
Gronk. They do last year.
And
they should.
I feel the same way about Brady.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's more essential, especially if you're talking about not having Edelman for the first four games.
Right.
It's more. Not I want to say essential, but it's preferable to give Brady and whatever receiving core comes out of this some time together. So, but again, two quarters, I mean, and the other thing, and Brady's talked about in the past too, coming out after the half and you know, after you have, 12 minutes or whatever it is, downtime and a little time at the chalkboard with the coaches, then coming back, warming up and get ready to start the second half. He likes that. He likes that third game where he can go ahead and do that and get into a routine. So, yeah, I would expect to see Brady next week into the halfway through the third quarter.
I don't want to see him at all.
Yeah, I agree,
but you probably will.
Now the third game is the one that supposedly matters.
The dress rehearsal.
The dress rehearsal. Fourth one, you don't see anybody who matters.
Nope. Hopefully,
nor do I want to.
Right. Nope.
You see guys that are going to get cut. You see, like, the veteran guy, like, what is he doing out there? He's done.
Yeah, or you're giving a veteran guy a chance to showcase himself a little bit to maybe get picked up somewhere. I've seen coaches do that any number of times.
Could be a big Eric Decker game.
Yeesh.
What? It could be, Dale.
No, I just keep... he is on your list.
I like Eric Decker.
Now, last night, I'm
glad they brought him in, but I just
thought you'd spend all your time today...
Well, you haven't given... we got plenty of shows.
I thought you would spend all your time today pumping up Jacob Hollister.
What do you think about that grab?
That was a nice grab.
Catch. What do you mean, all right? That was an unbelievable play. That was the highlight of the game. A lot of contact. Probably pass interference.
Any decent tight end makes that catch.
He is a decent tight end.
Okay.
And you know what the comparison is? And they didn't want to say it on the air last night.
But you would have.
Aaron Hernandez. He's got a little Aaron Hernandez to his game. He's very versatile. He's not the biggest tight end in the world. You can line him up all over the place. Zoe's trying to compare him to Frank Wycheck, which is also a good one, sort of that H-back type.
He's faster than Wycheck, not as fast as Hernandez.
Yeah, so probably maybe a blend between the two. But I think he can be an effective player. And he had a nice block on the James White touchdown. So it was a complete game for Jacob Hollister.
I bet you were holding your breath. You thought he was hurt for a minute.
I was. Yeah, he is my guy.
He's going to wear a 47 jersey.
I can't wait to go to the pro shop, pick up my Hollister jersey.
Get the poster.
He's the guy. Yeah, he's the absolute guy. But he was good last night.
No, he was. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd put him in the Aaron Hernandez category in terms of, you know,
talent.
Catchability and talent.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, he was pretty good. But I'm just saying, like, how they could use him might be similar.
And they're going to need to be creative in the first four games, at least. They've always been creative, but, you know, when you're down without Edelman, all of a sudden you got to be creative. And whether it's going to be James White, Hollister, or whomever, it's going to be somebody.
I think you're going to see so much more of Dwayne Allen because of questions about the offensive line and keeping Brady upright. I think Dwayne Allen's going to be that sixth offensive lineman most of the time.
He probably will be, and you're going to see Dwayne Allen, and that's when they're trying to run the ball, but I think they're going to get frustrated because they're not going to be able to run the ball between the tackles that much. And so then they're going to say, all right, we're just going to pass, and when we pass, it's going to be probably still two running backs. You know, you might get White and Burkhead with Gronk.
Not in the backfield.
And Hollister. Split one of them out, right. And then you know, one receiver. Maybe it's Hogan, maybe it's Patterson. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a lot of two tight end, two running backs, you know, at least until Edelman returns.
Yeah, they're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to find some different options. I could easily see Hollister being one of those guys.
There you go. See? You got a former NFL player signing off on that, Dale.
Oh, God.
Why don't you just go over there and beg him? Making
the team's one thing. He could be a special teams ace as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
It's still important to the team.
Where did the man crush come from?
I don't know.
Huh? I just like him. I think he's a good player. You got to like it. It's the preseason. You got to fall in love with somebody.
And you don't like his brother?
No, Cody's okay. I think Jacob's better. They're twins. I got more excited
about Cordarrelle Patterson's play last night than I did.
Oh, he embarrassed that one guy.
Well, first off, what are you doing that close to the goal line, 10 yards off the receiver?
Like, where is he going? There's a two-yard route at top.
That almost had to be an audible. I'm watching it, and I'm thinking... That's not the play they called. They just saw that defensive back was 10 yards off of Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, my God. That was great. You see Brady. It was Hoyer that threw it, but you see Brady smiling on the sidelines. Like, all right, we'll keep that play in mind. We'll have that one ready to go.
I was more concerned about the receiving end of it than the throwing end of it.
No, but my point is he's saying, well, we can use this. Like, because I think Patterson, it's going to have to be plays like that. It's going to have to be end arounds. It's gonna, that little touch pass that he did to Cooks last year. Like,
I'm telling you right now. Jalen Ramsey will not be 10 yards off of Cordarrelle Patterson.
Ramsey will kill Patterson.
He will not. And
he will destroy Patterson.
That was part of the knock on Patterson for all his tremendous speed and reasonable hands that he could get manhandled a little bit at the line of scrimmage.
Right. A texter says, Dwayne Allen should be cut. He's costing you $5 million and he does next to nothing. They love what he does.
Oh, so my text came
through?
He's a sixth
offensive. Yeah, I know. Finally got it
through.
That's pretty good. He is a sixth offensive lineman for them.
Yeah, but...
He might be their fifth, depending on the way these guys are dropping right now.
But didn't he expect more than that, though?
I don't know what they did.
Absolutely, I expected more.
I'm sure they had to have. They had to have expected more than that. If you're settling for some extra help in the run game and a little extra help in protecting Brady, okay, I get that. That's fine. But for $5 million?
He played in all 16 games last year and had 10 catches.
Those were 10 good catches, though.
Those were some good grabs.
How many targets, by the way?
22.
That's more than I would have thought.
No, it is. Just over one a game, they looked his way.
So how many would Hollister have? If Dwayne Allen had 10, how many would Hollister have?
25.
Really? You're selling your boy short like that?
45.
All right. Thank
you. Keep talking. It'll be 65 in a minute there.
Please. That's great. But, you know, again, do you keep a $5 million
blocking tight end?
Blocking tight end.
And how bad is Hollister as a blocker? Who's I know he's not as big as Allen.
Who's that monster that they had that one year that was...
Michael Williams.
Michael Williams with the tight end
He was basically a tackle.
It was
He was absolutely a tackle.
It was awesome watching him come. He had to be 350.
Oh, easy.
Had to be.
Yeah.
To watch him come out with that tight end number.
Throw this guy?
Yes.
617-779-7937. We've got to ask Steve about college football and the storyline across the college football landscape here in the off season as we get ready for the start of the college football season. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Rocking the midday with Dan Arnold.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
And Rich Keefe.
I'm talking when I'm talking!
On WEEI.
Man, college football is a mess, especially in the Big Ten. In this offseason, somebody tweeted out a week or so ago that like 29% of the coaches in the Big Ten are on administrative leave right now.
Ugh.
And, you know what happened at Ohio State. But I wanted to talk to Steve particularly about what happened at the University of Maryland. And for people who don't know, a 19-year-old offensive lineman by the name of Jordan McNair was involved in an outdoor workout on May 29th. He collapsed, overheated. He died on June 13th from complications related to extreme exhaustion and heat stroke. Since then, the head coach, DJ Durkin, has been placed on administrative leave. Rick Court, the strength and conditioning coach, was placed on leave August 12th, turned in his letter of resignation a day later. The head football trainer and the director of athletic training were placed on administrative leave on August 10th. Now, Steve, you played college football at the highest level at Boston College, and I'm sure you had coaches who were, ah, damn it, we're gonna push you, we're going to drive you. What the hell are these people thinking?
And especially in this day and age when so much more information is available to you and so many opportunities to – there was so many opportunities for cutouts in what was going on there for someone to step in and put a stop to it. And sometimes coaches get crazy and sometimes players – get crazy pushing themselves too. It's not just coaches. Sometimes players get a little crazy.
Yeah, but this guy Rick Court seems to have been a nut job.
That's when you read the reports about it, that's exactly what it is. You're not making anyone tougher by grinding them into the dirt in April or May or whatever. The toughness comes from a mental understanding that you're prepared and ready for anything that can come your way, and that doesn't come from a coach screaming in your ear to grind it out and take it off the deep end in that situation. How do you go back to your other players? How do you go back to that family's parents? How do you go out recruiting when you do something like that? The idea that you're pushing a kid to that point, that's something you heard in the 70s, even the 80s, right, and once in a while in the 90s and some, you know. But now there's so much information, and it's not just you don't have to go look for the information. The information's there. If you're in that business and you don't know this stuff, then I don't know how you got to that position in the first place.
Well, and you mentioned the players' parents. So Jordan McNair was the player, and his parents, they both talked sort of some thoughts on the head coach, DJ Durkin.
What do you think should happen to DJ Durkin?
Heather, I think that all I can remember is, and when I think of DJ Durkin, all I remember is him sitting at our kitchen table and assuring me that he would take care of my son. And he did anything other than that. I think he should be relieved of his job. I don't think that he should be allowed to coach anyone else's child in an environment like this. My child died there. That's something we'll never get back.
Well, I can't even imagine now, the heartbreak.
When Zach was being recruited, he ended up going to Brown.
Yep.
Did you have a Brown coach sit at your kitchen table and talk to you about Zach coming to his school and what it was going to be like?
Yes, I did. But, Zach was a remarkable young man who was very capable after 4 years at Phillips Andover and very capable of making good decisions. So I was there to listen and pay attention if I heard anything that caused an alarm to go off. I'd talk to him about it afterwards. But it was... You heard things like that, but coaches don't have to go in there and tell. Maybe they do. I don't know about current recruiting the way it goes, but you have to really go in there and say, I'm going to take care of your boy, and your boy's going to be under my protection and all this stuff.
I feel like to sell it, a lot of them will. I feel like a lot of them will do that. Basketball and football in particular, the, like, we're going to take your boy and make him a man. Yeah, he's safe here, and he's leaving the family. They're, a lot of them are used car salesmen, and they're just going to tell. They're just going to pitch it. Once they get the guy, they move on to the next thing.
Right.
And some, I'm sure, do have a strong relationship with their player. Others, I'm going to use this guy for 2-3 years.
Yeah,
sometimes four, but like that's it, and then we're on to the next one.
Yeah.
Think about for a football coach, too. How many guys are on their roster? How many guys they have to recruit? Right. How many guys that they recruit that don't go to their school? Yeah, so they have 85 on the roster.
Right.
How many homes are they going to? How many false promises are they giving to people?
To land 25 recruits a year, you probably got to very actively recruit 125.
I bet.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And with ancillary recruitment of probably another 100 or so. So, yeah, I mean, and I did, when I was coming, I had Chuck Fairbanks come to my house, sitting there talking to my dad. That was when he went to the University of Colorado. And my dad was paying attention, and Chuck Fairbanks was, yeah, we're going to take care of your boy. He's going to be a big star, blah, 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 blah. What do you think there, Mr. Diossi? I said, are you going to leave my son in a lurch like you did our New England Patriots? Is that what you're going to do? So I'm supposed to believe that? But he was
probably
still
the end of that trip
yeah,
pretty quick.
Yeah, I said, like, Dad. the idea that coaches, that there's nobody in that on that staff, nobody in that situation that says stop. How do you have that sort of mindset? How many coaches on Maryland staff? 10, 12?
Oh, gotta be, yeah.
And by the way, Rick Court, the strength and conditioning coach, was the first hire DJ Durkin made.
Right.
He was the first guy he hired.
One of his guys.
Yeah, he oversees it all. So even though it was the trainer that was more, I would say, at fault, but if the head coach oversees all of this, I think it's just going to be tough for other players and for him to recruit going forward.
Hell yeah.
And for Maryland to stick by him.
Maryland hasn't stuck by him, man.
Well, I'm surprised he's even still technically the coach. Like, I know he's on administrative leave. I think there are certain legalities that they have to.
That's exactly what it is.
I mean, it was amazing to me. If you saw the press conference when the president of the University of Maryland said the school was taking moral and legal responsibility for the death of Jordan McNair.
Hmm.
The president's name is a man named Wallace Lowe. And when he said the school accepts legal and moral responsibility for the mistake.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the minute he said that, DJ Durkin
was done.
You're
not keeping that guy.
Done.
Yeah. He was not even gone.
So they're probably just figuring out a way so they don't have to pay him. Right?
No,
they're probably
looking through. They figure they're going to give him whatever they want. You mean Durkin?
I'm talking about the coach.
No.
I think they're probably, maybe it hasn't happened yet because they're just going through every word of the contract.
Now, DJ Durkin is gone, in my opinion, in your opinion. Urban Meyer is probably not gone at Ohio State.
It seems like they're still sticking around.
Urban Meyer's more successful.
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it.
As pathetic as that sounds, Urban Meyer's a bigger, better coach.
And Ohio State football is more important than Maryland football.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Sometimes the truth is a little pathetic, but that's the truth. And for everything that he, I don't want to say aided and abetted, but conveniently turned a blind eye to, how do you not hold him accountable too?
I like the Ohio State president's quote on when the investigation will be over, or it'll be finished when it's finished.
Finished, yeah.
Got it. Thank
you. Good for you.
Thanks for clarifying.
If I'm Martin McNair, he is Jordan McNair's dad, and so eloquently speaking there a moment ago. If I'm Martin McNair, I would be trying to track down DJ Durkin and Rick Court and do bodily harm to them right now.
How could you control your emotions? How could you see something that that was so obvious, and not that the death was deliberate, but the treatment was deliberate? How do you live with that if you're that person? If you're the parent, how do you live with that too? And you know, your job as a parent is to, even when they're in college, you want to protect your kids.
I mean, I'll even defend Durkin only to this degree, and I think he should be fired. You know, this kid collapses, training staff gets involved. I can see where Durkin is not going into the training room, perhaps, to check on Jordan McNair. He's got a whole bunch of other guys out on the field. You trust the trainers to do what's right. But as it turns out, according to the reports, it was an hour before they got in touch.
Yeah, that's
with 911. And oh, by the way, they weren't doing what you're supposed to do to lower his body temperature, which had been at 106.
Wow.
Well, that's
and the doctor said if they had done that immediately, he would have survived this.
Because you do hear other stories, and it's tragic, but you hear other stories from other sports even where, you know, a standard practice player collapses.
Yep.
Awful, awful scene.
Right.
But at least they go through all the proper protocols.
Right.
You know, you read into this, and you're saying, what were they doing? Like, how any of these coaches or trainers don't are made on the staff?
If you're a trainer or even a strength coach, don't you have to have minimum levels of training and education in certain situations? And I would think the emergency response to or the immediate response to something like that is part of that training?
Yeah, I would think so.
See, here's what I fear happened. And I don't know, this is theorizing on my part.
Right.
Totally unfair, but I'm theorizing. Rick Court, the strength and conditioning coach, was in charge of these workouts. He was the guy pushing these players. What I fear is going to happen, what we're going to hear is these trainers said, listen, this guy's in trouble. We got to take care of him. And this Rick Court said, hey, I got charge of these guys. This is my workout. These are my guys.
Right.
I'll tell you when you take him off the field.
Right.
And I bet you that's what happened with this guy.
Yeah, totally full of himself, and you know, I. But again,
because the trainers, they are trained, they know this stuff.
This is
true. These guys have been put on administrative leave,
and it's very possible that the head and or assistant trainers weren't really on the field. It's possible that you had student trainers on the field at the time, because the head trainers are usually dealing with all the sports, and a lot of their stuff is administrative. Even some of the assistant trainers are dealing with things that are going on in the training room. Whether it's a basketball player getting a treatment or a volleyball player getting something done, whatever. Odds are that in something as simple as a spring conditioning drill or summer conditioning drill, odds are there might be a student trainer there who probably wouldn't feel empowered to go up against this coach.
Yeah, where a trainer who's empowered would say, I don't care what you say.
Exactly.
This is now my responsibility.
One would hope. Yeah, absolutely right, and there have been, I've seen trainers that have stepped in. I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen in high school sports. I've watched it happen in college sports. You know, and I'm sure it happens in the pros at times too. I'm sure it happens. I've seen trainers step in and say, "Nope, that's enough. We're done. We're done here with this." And that's what you're supposed to do. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. And this was just a complete mess from start to finish. With something that it didn't have to happen. That's what hurts so much. It didn't have to happen.
So it seems like for DJ, as far as DJ Durkin is concerned, one of the things that they're going to try to do is if they can fire him for cause.
Then they don't pay him.
Right. Well, no, they save 65% of the money he's owed, apparently. That must be part of the deal. I'm not sure. Otherwise, if they can't do that, then they have to pay him the entire salary. So that's probably part of what they're doing now while he's on administrative leave.
Yeah.
But like you said, you got two coaches in the Big Ten, both on administrative leave. One looks like should be on his way out. One looks like he'll probably be back in time for week one, which is what, next weekend, I think.
But,
right? Isn't it a week from tomorrow they open up the season?
But if this is a monetary thing, why would the president of the school accept moral and legal blame for this? Because that's right there. You're basically telling the family's lawyer to just put a number on it. Why are you worried about $3-5 million.
I actually give them credit.
Yeah.
I give them credit for doing the right thing.
100%.
Because what you would have expected a big time college president to say is, well, you know, we've got to get all
the
details.
We're going to wait for the investigation.
It'll be finished when it's finished.
But isn't it,
this is what you would expect
exactly.
them to say.
But the president of the school has to understand that when he says we take full legal and moral responsibility for this, he understands he's opening up the pocket for the legal thing. He understands that. He didn't do it by accident.
No, he knows exactly what he's
doing. So then why are you worried about the difference of $1 or $2 million, whatever it is, with this head coach?
Well, Durkin, this is his first year, right? He's probably got a big
contract. Yeah.
That's some guarantees. I bet he's got like a 5-6 year deal.
Okay, so he's got some guarantees. So
and there's probably it may not be as much money as they're going to pay the McNair family, but it's probably a fair amount of money. They placed the head football trainer and the director of athletic training both on administrative leave as well.
I wonder if the director of athletic training was near there on the field or somewhere. I wonder if that's the case or if I don't know how he's complicit in the thing, or maybe they just have to do a blanket suspension like that.
It looks like in December of 2015, he signed a 6-year deal. Let's see, total contract pay over $15 million. So
total contract, 6 years, $15 million?
Yeah.
Okay, so $3.5 million a year, $2.5 million a year?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if he's got 3 years left on it, 15, 16, 17, yeah, he's got 3 years left on it.
Yeah, he signed through 2021.
Oh, 20, okay, so he's got, what, 18, 19, 20? Yeah. Yeah, he's got 4 years left on it, so you're talking about – that doesn't make sense, though.
Supposedly the board
of 15 after
because
of
the because he didn't coach the 15th season.
Supposedly the Board of Regents at Maryland held a big conference call yesterday.
Yep.
And I'm sure what they're saying is, all right, how do we get rid of this guy, and what's it going to cost us to get rid of this guy?
Right.
Oh, definitely.
Will he get another job?
Well, it's college football, so some team will give him a chance in a couple of years.
The strength and conditioning coach, he's done. He'll never get another job.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and you wonder what that relationship was to begin with, if it's a guy that's been with him forever. And...
Well, the whole story that Sports Illustrated put out about the culture within the football program, and this Rick Court, who is just whacked, you know, putting more weight on a bar than an athlete has ever lifted.
Yeah, right. Smart.
And just saying, all right, let's go. And the guy looking at him like, I don't have that.
Right. Where does that come from? What's the mentality? What's that doing for anybody? It makes no sense whatsoever. Again, but there are coaches out there, even at that level. You know, you're talking, they're Big Ten now, right?
Yep.
I mean, even at that level, there are coaches that are still nuts.
I think for one season, DJ Durkin was on Urban Meyer's Florida staff. Want to tie them together.
Wow.
He was the linebacker, like special teams coach, I believe, at Florida. Starting 2010, I think that was the last year Urban Meyer was there. So there you go.
Mm.
Nice combination there.
Nice. All right. How's that coaching tree working out for you?
Back to the calls with you guys coming up next. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Steve DiAssi, Sports Radio WEEI.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.